How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all awake? Well, I can tell. Y'all about to be. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Mickey. Thank you, Swillin. Thank you, praise man. They do a great job this morning to watch. Give them a hand. Now, so I got to think about it. I got to give a little background here. I got some thinking. I've had a little question on my mind for a while. It's something that was brought up into a sermon at youth camp. Oh, that's right, my bad. Thank you. Kids, y'all dismissed for children's church, my apology. But anyway, during a youth camp in Charleston, there was a pastor there. Our camp pastor, his name was Jordy McCaskill. And one of the sermons he had one night was just listening, but he asked a question in this. And here was the question. It says, do you know what it takes to follow Christ? He was asking everybody. Now, of course, at youth camp, it's kind of, they try to make it geared for students. But I thought, that's a really good question. How would our adults answer this? Do you know what it takes to follow Christ? And so I got thinking about this, and I even put myself in there. I'm like, man, what? I look at myself, and I'm like, all right, so what do I do? Do I really understand this? And then I got thinking. I was like, all right, so when we choose to follow Christ, when we make that choice and we decide to follow him and put him as our Lord and Savior in our life and control of us and authority over us, that's actually a pretty easy decision, right? When God lays it on you, it's not hard to figure, it's not hard to make. But then I got thinking, actually, the hard part comes afterwards, right? You think about it. We got a whole instruction manual right here of God's Word that tells us how we should live our life in every aspect of it, right? Raise your hand if you're really good at it. That's what I thought. Yeah, we are terrible at it. It's bad. We're terrible at it. So it brought to my attention, I got thinking about this more than, I got thinking about, we've been studying Mark 10. Mark, Book of Mark, and for a while now, okay? So I'm going to kind of do a little refresher for a little small bit. So we're going to look at Mark 10. And we're going to look at Mark 10, specifically 17 through 31, and this is what it says. It says, and as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit an eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And you will have the treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Now we're familiar with that, right? But let's take a little look at it here. This young man, this young, the rich young ruler, You've known that as well, the rich young ruler. But we're looking at it, and he comes to Jesus, and he says, look at this. I have done this, and I have done this, and I have done this. I have followed all your commandments since I was a youth. Since I was a kid, I have followed all these things. But don't you always get it when you get that but that goes along with it? But, you know, his world's about to turn upside down. And Jesus does a good job of that, doesn't he? He goes, but you lack one thing. Here's what I want you to do. Go sell everything and give to the poor, then come follow me. And that made me think about what he was saying, what it takes to follow Jesus, to follow Christ. And I asked myself, can I honestly say that's something I'll do? What are the things that we have in our lives that we put that are priority over Christ himself? And the interesting part with that is it doesn't mean it has to be something that's bad. You know, one of the things, I shared this with the early service, is for myself, when I was looking at myself in this, was when I first was called into ministry and I served at Gannot, one of the things that I didn't even realize it. You know, serving in the church, serving in ministry, it's good, right? That's a good thing. But here's how Satan works. He'll take the good things, they look beautiful. Excellent, you're doing great. But all of a sudden, I started putting the church before everything else. And even in it, I was so worried about serving the church and getting this and doing this and doing that, that guess what I was doing? One, I was putting Jesus on the back burner. I wasn't thinking about him. I was thinking about getting all this done. The other part of that is I was putting my own wife. Brenda wasn't born at this time, but I was putting my own wife. I was putting her on the back burner too because my focus was slowly on ministry. So one, I wasn't serving Jesus. I was serving me and serving people. But I was not following Christ because one, I was neglecting my wife too because I got so focused on that. And it took the Lord using her to open my eyes to what I was doing. And that's when I realized, you know, even the good things in our life, Satan can use those to turn us away from Christ to cause that separation in our faith. Family, friends, it's very easy to do. Work, you name it. It could be anything. So I decided to try a little experiment this morning. We got a few props we're going to use. So I know y'all not used to props in the sermon, but we're going to do something a little different this morning. And we're going to try this little project. We saw it at camp. Really cool. But for me, it involves some boxes. But for me, at the camp, when Jordy did this, it was some small boxes, but I'm kind of that go big, go home kind of mentality. So we got some big boxes for this. And we're going to try this out. I think y'all get a good grasp of what we're going to do. But as we go along with that, when we talk about this, how did the young man, how did he walk away? He was disheartened. You know, and he turned around with head down and just sauntered off. But let me ask this. That young man's problem, he may have followed the commandments to the T, but he missed the one thing that matters most, and that is Christ. His possessions were more important to him than Christ. Now, let's put all of ourselves in his shoes. I know for a fact all of us can name something in our life right now that we put before Christ. And the weird part is the boxes I'm getting ready to bring up, it's just a few boxes. I guarantee you we can fill up this stage and then some with things that we put before Christ. So as we go back and look at this, we look at this and say, what am I willing to give up? How can we give up anything if we don't understand who the authority of our life is in the first place? Think about that. When we make that choice to follow Christ, he died on the cross for us. He did all the hard work. We just had to make a choice, but along with that choice came that we were willing to follow and be obedient to him in every aspect of our life. That's what we have to do, right? We are commanded to live perfectly. That's why Christ had to come into the world, because we can't do that. And I know some of this might be a sore subject for some, but it should be for all of us. If I'm stepping on toes, good. If I'm not, wake it up. Because all of us need to. We live in a world and a culture now, and I got not just with the students, even though I work with the students 99% of the time, not just with students, but even parents, adults. We look at this, we work in a world that tells you good things. It tells you material things bring happiness. It tells you family brings happiness. It tells you jobs bring happiness. You got to work to do this, to have this, and keep this. But understand, all that is completely temporary. There is nothing that this world can offer that brings eternal salvation, much less that brings permanent happiness and joy in your life. Nothing. Doesn't matter how hard you work. Doesn't matter how all the nice stuff has. Yes, I am blessed. I'm not going to lie. I got a home. I got a nice car. I got a family. I got people that love me. I got a great church. I'm blessed. But another thing, too, I have to ask myself with this, while I was preaching this and while I was studying for this, was would I be willing to give all that up if God calls me to? And that's something we all got to ask ourselves. Are you willing to give up? And the thing is, it's harder than you think. You know, this rich young ruler, he says, I've done this, I've done that. And that's one thing I've noticed when I was reading that and I was studying. He said, well, I've did this, and I've done that, and I've done this. Guess what? You have done all that, but guess what? But you did not do it for Christ. You did it for yourself. And if you try to do things for yourself, guess what? You are going to fail in the long run. It may bring temporary happiness, but you're going to fail in the long run. So, you know, we always have those buts. As we go on a little bit farther with this, though, it says here, it says in 23 and 25, 23 through 25, says, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the needle of an eye, eye of a needle, than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. All right, hey, Jake, you mind pulling up that picture for me? All right. So we see this right here, okay? I'm sitting here looking at it. I thought this was kind of funny, actually, because it actually fits seven camels in an eye of a needle. How many of y'all have ever seen a needle that big before? How many of y'all have ever seen a camel before in real life? That's a massive animal. Large animal. Now, how many of y'all have seen the eye of a needle? I don't sew, and there's a reason why. Because I can't see how to even get the thread in the needle. It's so small. You should watch me try to put on a button sometime. You'll laugh, I promise. Amy, no, I'm just, that's what I do. But that's not me. But here's the interesting part with this as we're talking about this, is just like with the rich young ruler, we're talking about thieves, but he had a huge camel laying on him. He had a huge camel there in his life that he could not get rid of. He couldn't push it off because, why? He didn't want to give it up. His possessions were the greatest thing that was going on in his life. Now, here's the interesting part. What is y'all's camel? We all have them. And you think about it, trying to push a camel through the eye of a needle, that's just a picture to think about, right? It's impossible. So let me ask you, how wealthy are you? And where does that wealth come from? Is it worldly? Or does your wealth come through Christ? Now, something you all need to understand. To me, two of the biggest misused words by Christians is the word Christian and believer. I hear this quite often. Well, I'm a believer, I go to church. I'm a Christian, I go to church. I believe because I believe in God. But we fail to realize that Satan does too. His demons believe in God. So we really need to take a look and really see what it means to follow Christ and how we look at as I'm a Christian and I'm a believer, because there's a lot more than just saying a word. There's a lot more to it. Scripture, think about it. In Scripture, Philippians 4:13. Everybody knows it, right? For the most part. That is by far one of the most misused scriptures on the face of the earth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Guess what? That's if it's his purpose. Yes, I'm a believer. I can go step off his balcony and ask God to slowly bring me down. If that's not his will, I'm going to have a short trip. And that sudden stop at the end is going to hurt. That's things we got to understand. We got to see God. God is the authority. Christ is the authority in our life, and it's his purpose and his will that we're here to serve, not our own. I can do all things. I can do all kinds of stuff. I can serve. I haven't killed anybody yet, I guess. I don't know how you say it. But I haven't murdered anybody. But have I ever mouthed back at mom and dad? I'll let you talk to them. Have I ever said that little white lie before? We all struggle. So this little experiment we're going to do goes along with this. But first we must realize that Jesus Christ is the authority in our life. How do we know this? Let's look at Colossians. Let's go to Colossians 1, 18 through 20. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, something we got to understand, it says all quite a bit in there. He has given all authority by God over all things on earth, over all things in heaven. So guess what? He is in total control of everything. He is all authority over everything, even us. He has the last say so, no matter how you put it. So you think God talking to this rich young ruler, you think the rich young ruler kind of missed the purpose? Of course he did. He wouldn't have walked away. We cannot put material things, we cannot put earthly things in front of God. If we call ourselves a believer, we call ourselves a follower, we have to have Christ. To truly follow him, he's got to be the priority in our life. He's got to be uno, number one in our lives. So we're going to try this little project. I got a few boxes here. And what these boxes represent, I just picked a few things that deal with mostly what the students, what they're familiar with, but all of us, I figured all the adults as well can relate to this. So this box says relationships, all right? I didn't design it. I had some of the youth do that, so give them a hand. My writing's not that pretty. That box, relationships, well, when we first think about relationships, we think of boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage, things like that. Well, you think about it. We are actually created to be in a relationship. That relationship can be with things, people, whatever. How many of y'all got a pet? How many of y'all got a relationship with your pet? You love them dearly? Yeah. You have some type of form of relationship with them. So we got relationships. Here's one I think is going to have, can bring some good discussion with. Second, we got technology. Now, have y'all got those kids, if you take away their phone or you take away a video game, they're going to go crazy, right? We all know it, been there. Third, we have self. That's a tough one, because we all got the things we like. We got things that we want to do, that I like to do this, I want to do this, or I like this, or I like that. Now, I'm willing to say this. These boxes are actually really small compared to the things that we put over Christ. Like I said before, I guarantee you we could line up for days, boxes of stuff that we put before Christ. And as we think about this, when we try to juggle this out, think about your everyday life. These things, I know, because some of y'all are thinking about, okay, yeah, I probably do this. How big of a deal is it? How big have those things become? How's life trying to juggle around? Because many of us, if not all of us, we juggle around multiple boxes. We have different things in our lives that we juggle around. We're trying to figure it out. It could be family. We love our families, right? But we want to make sure we're taken care of, right? It could be ourselves. Well, I like this and I want this. I'm trying to save up so I can have this. I do want to retire one day. So I'm going to do this. What about relationships? Family? Friends? Technology, I can go everywhere with that. You think about that, but also think of the other things. And think of everything that we're trying to juggle around. And now as we think about this and we're going through these things is, one, most of us don't even realize we put it as a priority in our lives over Christ. Satan does it. Satan takes these things. We don't mean from the well. Family's a good thing, right? For the most part. Yeah, it is. You love your family, right? Hope so. But it's very easy for Satan. This is how Satan creeps into different things. It's very easy for him to take things that are good, like he did with me in ministry, and turn it into something that's causing you to causing separation between you and Christ. Because that's all you can focus on. Anybody been there, done that before? There's things in your life that's all you can focus on? Yeah, of course. So we're sitting here thinking about these things. And then fourth, one more box. It's Jesus. Now let's think about this for a second. Got these big old boxes over here. He says, why has boxes got to do with things about my life? Last time I checked, including myself, we are juggling several things in our lives. We're juggling all kinds of things. What it might be or whatever. Be three or four different things. It could be emotional, physical, things. I don't know. That's up to you. That's your deal. But the interesting part is when we try to juggle these things, when we try to juggle them all together, look what happens. It falls apart. Church, we can't do this. You can keep trying all day long to juggle all these things that you're putting as priority over Christ. Say if I was able to keep them together, lift them up. I'm short. Students let me know it very clearly. I'm short. I know. I pick this up. Guess what? I can't see nothing in front of me. And guess what? I say I can juggle Christ, I can juggle Jesus in with all this stuff. I can put that right here and I pick it up. Guess what? I still can't see him because he's too far away. I got to pay attention to these things to juggle all this stuff. And guess what? He's standing right there in front of me, and I still can't see him because I'm too busy paying attention to all this other stuff. Here's what it's supposed to look like. Right here. You and Jesus, first and foremost. That's what it's supposed to look like. Now, I'm not saying you're not supposed to have some of those things over that you're juggling around now. But what I am saying is this. You put Jesus first in your life, there's no more juggling because he's going to take care of it for you. And you can rely completely on him for that. This is what it's about right here, Jesus. I got a lot of learning to do myself. A lot of learning to do myself. It's always a process. It's never perfect. That's why we got to have him. He gets us through it. But we got to quit juggling everything in our lives. And sometimes we have to give up. That's what God calls us to do. Our relationship with him is not one we choose. As a believer, we've already made that choice. That relationship begins with him and uses him to work through everything else. That's where it starts. I can try to juggle these all day long, and it would be bigger mess after bigger mess after bigger mess. We have got to give up. We have got to put Christ first back in our lives and everything that we do, because he'll handle every bit of it for us. I'm not saying he's going to put us to work, but he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, and he'll take care of it. He'll make it happen. If you're in here, thank you for coming. If you're not a believer, it's the same with you. All these things, that these earthly things, these worldly things that you've got going on in your life that you're working for, guess what? It's no different than it is for somebody that's a believer. It doesn't get you anywhere. In this world, you may seem happy, but at the end, you're going to fail just like the rest of us. We got to have Christ. He is the only way for eternal salvation. And how do we know this? Think of this. Anybody familiar with John 14:6? What does it say? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's bold. How do we know has Jesus' authority? Because he said that. He says, I am. He said nobody else. He said me. And in this world today, one of the things that we're seeing now a lot is a lot of people are thinking that there's more than one way to heaven. That I can't see a God taking good people and not. Well, it makes it very clearly. He's the authority. He's the yes, no man. He's the one that makes that choice. He's the one that tells you. It's through our faith, we make the choice. He's the one that makes it happen. Not us. So we've got to get off our little high horse, what I like to call it, including myself, and say, quit worrying about all this stuff, and let's put God back in the picture. Put Christ back in the picture in your life, because guess what? When you get it right in your life, one, you're going to blossom. He's going to use you to go out into a world to be a light to other people and to show them that putting Christ in your life first and foremost, guess what? That's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. There's nothing greater. We make it so hard. But if we really look at it, it's not. We just got to make a decision to give up. That's it. We got to make a decision to say, give up, and Lord, you're in control. You have complete authority over my life. Take me and run. And let me encourage you, church, if we're going to be a church that moves into the future, and we're going to be a church that's going to be willing to serve our Lord above, we need to be asking him to send us to places that's hard. Ask him to send us to places that are difficult to reach. And he will if we follow him. We got to quit waiting for the darkness to come to us. We got to be willing to go out into the darkness to be a light. But the only way we can do it is by putting God first in our lives. Because if we do that, he'll use you. If you're a believer, altar's open. If you're not a believer, altar's open. If there's things going on right now you would like to pray with, come down and pray. If you want somebody to pray with, we'd love to pray with you. And if you're not a believer, you don't know who Christ is, come on down. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to introduce you to him. So I'm going to pray as we close. And I ask Mickey to come up. If you know there's something that's going on in your life right now, that you know it's the priority in your life that you're not seeking Christ over and through, and it's keeping you away, let's give it up. Let's start seeking Christ and making him the priority in our lives. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are, for always loving us, God. Father, you did the hard work first. Lord, you gave your life. You gave your son for me and for all of mankind. God, because we're unable to live the kind of life that you expect of us, Lord. But the shedding of your blood on that cross and the resurrection, defeating death, God, you gave us that opportunity for salvation as long as we put our faith in you. And Father, I ask, Lord, anybody in here, Lord, right now that's struggling in their relationship with you, that have got a lot of questions, God, that they just lay it all out. They give it up and allow you to take control. And Lord, I just pray too, if anybody's in here that does not know you, Lord, give them the strength and the courage, Lord, to come forward. Love to be able to have the opportunity to introduce them to you, Father. Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be here today. For we love you and thank you. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.